as you know, and we are continuing in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 today. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. I want to speak on the subject of internal adders. Internal adders. Adders not as in snakes, but something's poisonous, but adders as in additions, things that need to be added to God's people's lives. And it's something that we are responsible for, something that we are responsible to add to our lives. And when we read this passage of Scripture, we read that responsibility here. He says in verse 5, add to your faith. Add to your faith is something that God's already given you. You can't add faith on your own, but God has given us faith, but let's add to that glorious thing, that glorious confidence that God has given us in His Son, that glorious assurance, that blessed assurance that we are His and that He is ours. But add to that. There's more in the Christian life than just simply being saved. There's more in the Christian life than simply being one who is a child of God. So add to your faith, verse number 5 says. And then down in verse number 8, he says, if these things be in you and abound. So we're talking about internal adders. Internal adders, if these things be in you. So there are things that he's referring to here, the virtues that he is wanting us to add are added in us. There aren't things that are just external things. He's not talking about external rites. He's not even talking about your external walk. He's talking about in you. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about, as a child of God, the way you think, the way you process things, the way you look at life. He's saying, here's some things we need to add to our life, and that these things might become something that, he'll use the word, abound. Something more abundant in our life. Something that would abound in our life. Something that would grow and become more the norm of our life. In other words, these things, if these things be in us and they abound, then they make us fruitful. They make us not barren and not unfruitful, but rather they cause us to be fruitful as children of God. So we're thinking about that and how that we then could be useful. The fruitfulness is something that is external and other people do see, and that it does affect other people, and it does affect our fellowship with the Lord, and it does proceed from out of us in terms of action, in terms of speaking something that we say, and acts that we, acts of kindness and such as that. But right now he's saying, hey, inside you, add these things to your faith. So let's read it, let's start with verse number 5 and read through verse 8. It says, and beside these great and precious promises that have been given to us by faith, God's granted faith to us now, saving faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that. And that's a wonderful thing. It has the most precious promises with us of assurance of salvation. But now he says here, but let's add, beside this, add to, given all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are we talking about again in 2 Peter? We're talking about doctrinal deviation. We're talking about the knowledge of the Lord, our understanding of the Lord and of His ways. And we're talking about deviating from that. Peter's going to warn against getting off track doctrinally, getting off track believing things that are not so, that are not taught in the Word of God. And so So he says, hey, you know, if you want to be fruitful in the things of the Lord, and be fruitful especially in the knowledge of the Lord, in the knowledge of Him. We want to be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And so he says, well, internally, let's add these things to your life, and they will cause you to be growing and abounding in your knowledge of the Lord. They'll cause you to understand more. You want to understand more. Lord, teach me more. Teach me more. He says, well, you haven't even done the things I've told you already. Why would you want me to teach you more? Why would you want me to do more for you when your heart isn't even right in the ways that you know it needs to be? And so there's a sense in which that Peter is saying to us here and to the saints that he's writing to, that there's a certain kind of a diligence that needs to be on our part. The Lord has done, he's given us these great and precious promises, and that we might be partakers of the divine nature, and we are. By God's grace, we become those who are partakers of Jesus Christ. We know we're right with God. We've been saved eternally, everlastingly. But now, what do I need to do? And what should my response be? It's like above the entrance to our kitchen area is, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him. We love Him. We're to love Him. Because of what He's already done for us, then out of love for Him, what do we do? Well, let's add these internal things that he's referring to here. Beside this, giving all diligence. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. When he says giving all diligence, means that it may be a little bit difficult to do it. The fact of the matter is that we are still in the flesh, and we are still sinful, and we still have to contend with the things of the flesh and the appetites of the flesh. So he's saying here, realize that it is going to require some diligence. I think about diligence and diligence like a recipe, a brand new recipe that you just get. And some people now get their recipes, and Donna has posted recipes at times. Allison has, Jenny especially. Jenny has posted a lot of recipes on Facebook, and there's something that she finds, and, oh, wow, that looks pretty good. Or Donna finds it, somebody finds it, it looks pretty good. And so you're going to make that, and you just look at it, and you think, yeah, pretty much, enough. I can do that. And I can usually, I can look at something like that, and I can say, hey, I can probably do that. I can probably do it. And I might make an attempt at it and fall flat on my face. But you have to actually read the ingredient list. You gotta, and it isn't just a list, but it's a list of things to do. Now that just, for a man, is kind of difficult. Because we would like there to be just something, a bunch of parts, and we throw it all together somehow, and it works. You know, that's how we work. But it's to be put together in certain ways. In other words, that there's, this has to be mixed with this. Well, I thought I could just mix the pecans in with the flour, you know, and it would work out just fine. But no, you have to mix the butter with the flour and something else, you know. And so there's some detail to it that requires some diligence, that requires you to actually read the instructions, read the recipe, read what it is. And each of those ingredients are important. And so if you don't already know something to replace an ingredient, if you don't have that ingredient, you kind of have to replace the ingredient, or this whole thing could be bad. You know, who cares about sugar? I've got this and this and this. I got all these things, you know, and it's supposed to be a dessert, and it had salt in it, and it had this in it, and all these other things, and I forgot about the sugar. Well, you know, I just put a little more salt instead of the sugar, and it looks a lot alike anyway. And so you put it all together, and what do you have? You don't have what the intention was at all. Diligence. It requires some diligence. Same is true with a repair, like an auto repair. Bad word, right, today? automotive repairs. We don't like auto repairs. We don't like breakdowns and such as that on the cars. And the Jeep's got one, and it kind of looked like the GMC. Your GMC had one, and who knows what all was it a GMC? I think it's a GMC. Who knows what all is wrong with these things? But somebody has got to go in and look at it carefully, and they end up having to assess what the problem is, and then to fix it, there's specific things have to be done, you know, and you can't just break open the transmission, you know, you got to drain the fluid out of it too. You can't just start taking screws off, you know, and expect that everything's going to go back together the way you want it to. And so there's diligence. And he is saying here, this addition that he's referring to, it takes some diligence. And so the diligence that's required is instructed here in this recipe that he's given. Don't leave out any ingredient. Faith is not made to be alone. Faith is not made to be alone. The faith that we're given. Scripture says faith without works is dead, being alone. In James, there's other passage of Scripture says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, we know faith is absolutely essential, but then there's things that need to be added to our faith. And true saving faith is a faith that works. And the Word of God tells us that the grace of God that has saved us and delivered us from our sin was God's working within us to will and to do of His good pleasure, His good works. And so there's some things to be added that require diligence on our part. Faith is not made to be alone. And then it says, it's to, verse 8, to abound. And I'm still just thinking about this diligence. He said, beside this, give all diligence. Giving all diligence, then add these things. But giving all diligence, verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound. Abound, in other words, they become something that is more and more a part of your normal thought process, a part of your normal attitude. But these things getting in your life and getting in your heart, becoming more and more part of your day-to-day routine, the way you think, the way you act, the way you respond to things. But they're internal, not just the response, but the way you respond, how you feel about it, how you feel about certain things is what he's referring to here. Peter's referring to is how you take these things, how you process these things, how you feel about somebody, how you feel about something that's happened. The Lord would have us to give diligence to adding some internal things that become part of our day-to-day routine. So we'll look at that here. And we'll keep it simple. So faith, Matthew Poole said that faith is set in first place as the prime grace of the Christian, of a Christian. It's set in first place. Hebrews 11:6 says without faith it's impossible to please him. Without faith it's impossible to please God. So you can't please God without faith. Well, faith is number one. Faith is the first place. And so he says, add to your faith that you already have by the grace of God. Add to your faith these things. So all the other things kind of fall in place. But notice that he doesn't just say, add charity to your faith. Even though clearly he's intending that that's what you're going to do and that's what you need to do. He says, sequentially, he says there's an order here. And I don't want to get tied up too much in this order, but I do want us to understand that, you know, there are certain priorities and there are certain things in our lives as God's people that are really important, especially as it applies to the subject that matter that Peter is addressing here. That as he's addressing the subject of getting off doctrinally, he's going to prioritize these things. And he says, add to your faith. And the first thing he says is add to your faith virtue. Now, virtue is here is just a, it's like a really big thing. Clearly, it's like a big thing. It's like a big, pretty general thing. And that big, pretty general thing is basically within our life, within our heart. It's all things internal. Goodness. It is righteousness and goodness. In other words, it's not the action of it, but it is being good and being righteous. It's being virtuous. Being someone who is good in the way you think. In other words, good in terms of what God's standards are, but good in terms of the, Jesus and the golden rule that we're to do to others as we would have them do unto us. But not doing, rather the thing right before that, and that is the way we think, the way we're thinking, what's on our heart. What's on my heart? It ought to be that I'm adding virtue. I'm adding this big general thing is of being good, of being good. And then secondly, he says, add to your virtue. So he doesn't say just add all of these things all at once and mix them all together. He says, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. He puts a priority on virtue over knowledge. Virtue over knowledge. Thinking right and being good and thinking good, thinking good toward others, hopeth all things, believeth all things, etc. Being someone who thinks good, and then he says, add to virtue, knowledge. So knowledge is now second place to virtue. In other words, if I don't add virtue, and if virtue is not a part of my heart and life, knowledge is not going to be there either. It's not going to be there in the right place, at least. Some people want to add knowledge and they don't care about virtue. They don't care about other people's feelings. They don't care about anybody. They just want to know things. They just want to know everything. They want to know. They want to be doctrinally sound and mean, you know. Well, that's not the Lord's will. That isn't the plan. That's off base. The Lord wants us to be good and then doctrinally sound. But he wants us to be good is the priority. And so if I ever want to convince anybody of anything, I need to be good first. I need to be good. I need to have a heart that is really, truly goes out to someone, really, truly is sincere with the words that I speak, with the doctrine, the knowledge that I might want to convey. But for myself as well, internally, the Lord wants me to be good first, wants virtue to be precede knowledge. And so now, okay, if we do these things, then he'll teach us. He'll instruct us. He'll give us more understanding as we are right in our heart as it pertains to virtue. So virtue. Virtue is that flower, and then knowledge is something that has to be added to that flower. And you can't just put a bunch of butter in, you know, and think it's all going to work out. You got to have that flower first as a base for that butter. So or whatever else it is, butter's really good. But anyway, virtue, knowledge. Now I'm really going to be off track. Temperance is the next one. Temperance. What's temperance? He says, add to your knowledge. Temperance is, so what do we see here? Kind of seeing a priority of things. So he says, now, after you have knowledge, add to that knowledge temperance. Temperance is self-control. Temperance is restraints. is the kind of a negative. It's a restraint. It's stopping and holding as you can. And so it's self-control. And he said, hey, we need some self-control. We need temperance. So virtue, and this is all still internal. He's still not talking about anything external. He's talking about if these things be in you. In you. So having temperance is part of within us. Then he says to add to that temperance, patience. Patience. So I got temperance. I get self-control. And when things happen, I don't just knee-jerk reaction in my heart. When things happen, I'm self-controlled. And I'm going to control myself. It may be something that might normally make me mad. I'm going to exercise some self-control, restraint. And then following that becomes patience. So then patience becomes mine. But it's added to that self-control. That self-control is something I had to learn how to control within, have some self-control where I'm not just always responding either in a bad or a good way, a bad or a too good way or whatever. You know, just letting my emotions run my life, letting my circumstances run my life. No. Self-control and endurance, patience, endurance in the trials. With hope. Enduring the trials with hope. That's what patience is. It is taking the trials that come and having hope and having assurance of God and His plan. But it's internal. It's not your external actions that He's talking about here. He's talking about how we respond internally. How are we doing internally? And again, He's directed us. He's going to end up directing us in the direction of you know, these things have to be there and need to be in place for us to really continue to grow doctrinally so that we're not just tossed around with every wind of doctrine that comes along. These are part of our life that needs to be added. He's not just giving us knowledge. He's not just throwing a bunch of stuff on us. He's in a knowledge of the Lord. Rather, He is going to work within us and we need to exercise diligence in adding these things to our life. Next thing is godliness. After patience, he says to patience we're to add godliness. Godliness is just your actions toward God from your heart. It's your worship. It's your gratitude. It's your prayerfulness. Not prayer itself necessarily, because we're talking about within, but it is. It's your prayerful attitude. It is knowing when to pray. It's knowing when this thing takes place, and I've become a little more patient to take it, but you know what? I really should not do more than that. I should cast it on Him. He cares for me. I should actually be prayerful. I should actually be thinking about the Lord is in control. I should be thinking about that I can worship God and be grateful to Him even during the enduring part, during the trial part where I'm having to be patient, where I'm having to exercise self-control and not just throw up my hands and say I'm going to punch you in the face or something like that, but rather, or hit you with my car. That's more me. But now it's like I'm responding internally in a way that is going to make me more worshipful. It's going to make me more worshipful toward the Lord. Does the Lord want me to worship Him? Does the Lord want me to honor Him and to see that He's my everything? Does the Lord want me to see that He's the one who gives me breath to breathe every day? Does the Lord want me to see that He's the one that wakes me up every morning? Does He want me to see that He's the one that is that should be the crown of my life in terms of all the accomplishments? No, they're not mine. I'm going to glory in Him. He's the one that's done it for me. He's given these things to me. He's provided. He's so good. He's so wonderful. Is my heart there? internally, am I in that position? Am I in that place? And so he said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. And now he says, okay, do you remember what the Ten Commandments look like? The Ten Commandments are, the first four of the Ten Commandments are what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's what he says. Internally, love the Lord with everything you got. Okay? So that's Jesus' summary, synopsis of the Ten Commandments. He said the great commandment is to love the Lord our God. The second, he said, is like unto it, because it's also about love. And he says that is not only love the Lord our God and worship him and adore him and don't take his name in vain and things like this. Don't have any other gods before him. Don't put anything above him. And then the second set of the commandments, the last six of the commandments are what? Love our neighbor as ourself. So love our neighbor as ourself. And so he says that Peter says, all these things are about your relationship to God. They bring you to this state of godliness and worshipfulness and gratefulness and prayerfulness. But now he says, now he turns to the, in a sense, to the second set of the commandments. And he says, brotherly kindness. He says brotherly kindness, and then he says charity. Okay, and that's something I want us to dwell on just for a minute. First he says brotherly kindness, and then he says charity. The Word of God also tells us that we are to be in prayer, we're to be prayerful for those, for all men, but then it says especially for those who are of the household of faith. Okay, so the Word of God tells us that we are to have, that we are, there's to be a certain priority in the kingdom of God. There's a certain priority as it pertains to the family of God, as to pertains to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a certain kind of a priority and a certain kind of a love that we are to have toward them that we don't have toward the rest of the world. But the next one is, after saying, okay, you need to love the brethren, and then you also need to love everybody. You also need to just have charity. And charity is a more general term, love, that is referring to not just the love, brotherly love, but it's referring to the love of everyone. And so he sums all of this up with charity. And it's the last of the list, but it's like where he was headed, in a sense. In a sense, it's a direction that he's headed to, but it's like in priority, not in necessarily in priority, but in order and in prerequisite to get to that. There's a lot of other things that come first. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And might I just suggest that all these things are being worked in our lives all the time, and that as we're diligent about adding to our faith, we're adding to our faith internally, be good, adding to your faith, know God's will, knowledge, adding to your faith, practice some self-control, adding to your faith in terms of in your heart, be patient, be enduring, adding to your faith, worship, be godly, have a life toward gratitude for what God has done for you, and being prayerful whenever things are, you know, having a prayerful attitude, and then be kind, brotherly kind, be kind to your brothers and sisters. And then, and he refers to that as a kindness, brotherly kindness. You know what? Brothers and sisters, the regular physical brothers and sisters, sometimes they're not very kind to each other. And I know that. Sometimes we're not very kind to our brothers or our sisters. But he says we need to exercise some brotherly kindness and some charity, some love to everybody. So add those things. They're pretty simple things. And the things you pretty much know as a child of God, but add these things to our life, and as though diligently, like a recipe, like an auto repair, seeking to truly conform to the way that the Lord would have us in our lives to act. Now, what does this do for us? Well, the result, the promise, if you will, the result here. He says in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you," okay, so he's talking about internally. These are internal things. These are not external things. These are internal. This is within your heart, within your mind. He says, "If these things be in you and abound," so in other words, abounding. In other words, it is the quality of these things. These things really becoming part of your life. They're becoming something that really is the way you think, the way you, in your mind, the way you process things, in your heart, the way you process things. And he says, if that happens, then they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to know Christ more. We don't know Christ except by experiencing the things that Christ experienced. We don't know him except by sometimes going through and bearing the cross that the Lord has us to bear. We don't know him until we start experiencing what it is to be put on a cross, what it is to be made an open shame, what it is to be bullied around, or what it is to be mistreated, what it is. We don't really understand who Christ is until we start experiencing some of these things that require us to have a knowledge of God's will, that require us to just have a goodness and a virtue in our heart, that require us to be temperate, to be have some self-control, that require us to be patient, that require us to be worshipful toward the Lord, that require us to have brotherly kindness and charity. The Lord had all those things. Jesus Christ, that's what he was. He was all of these things, clearly. He was personified. These things were in him and abounded to the degree, the infinite degree. But in us, he would have some of these things. He would have these things abounding in us as well. And so as they do, we're going to know our Lord better. We're going to know the Lord. So the result is that there's as he says here, no barrenness or unfruitfulness in our knowledge of the Lord. The Lord wants us to know him. Peter is saying, you need to know the Lord. As you know him, and as he becomes the connection you have, and not just a set of doctrine and a set of rules, but rather knowing him and knowing what his will, beginning to process what his will is. Therefore, I want to know what he says. Therefore, I want to know what he teaches. I kind of want to know him. I want to be closer to him. I want to be, like I said, I don't know, last week before, whenever it was, he wrote a book. he wrote a book. I probably should read it. Probably should know something about it. He asked me to come to him. He asked me to come talk to him every now and then. I should really have that attitude of coming and worshiping him and thanking him, and as well as asking him, when casting cares upon him, when he's got a house, he has a place, and he wants me to come and fellowship with him, and he wants me to hang around him during the day, through the week. He wants me to be there. He says, I'll be with you, I'll walk with you, I'll lead you. He wants me to be close to him. And so I want to know him, and as I grow to understand him, the way I think is transformed. The way I think is transformed, it's drawing me, it's making me closer to what the Lord wants me to be. What does it mean to me, though? There's a continuous prerequisite to knowing more about the Lord, and it is internally abounding with a right attitude. It is having a proper, all these things, if you were to summarize all these things, it's kind of an attitude. It's kind of having the right attitude, the right frame of mind, the right heart concerning everything that happens in this life, concern all the things that hit you in this life, concern all the blessings that come to you in this life, that flow to you in this life, concern all the whole experience of life, whether it's the beginning of life when we're real young or whether it's when we're really old and we're close to time to go home to be with the Lord. Any of those times, throughout that entire life, the Lord is planning, the Lord is working, and He wants us to be growing in getting closer to Him, knowing Him better, and internally abounding with the right attitude in our heart. So the Lord wants to be close, and we're going to grow, and we're going to be closer to the truth as we're closer to Him. And so part of Peter's message here in his letter about doctrinal deviation, warning people about doctrinal deviation, he says, get close to the Lord. That helps. Just be close to Him. You get close to Him, and here's the way you get closer to Him. You experience the things He experienced, the way He experienced them, and you're getting closer to the Lord. You're getting closer in your experience to the Lord. As God's people, we pray that the Lord, we're to be praying that the Lord put the right attitude and the right heart in our life, and truly, as I mentioned earlier, revive us. I mean, sometimes we get to places in our life that we might say and truly might have to admit, no, I've been closer to the Lord than I am today. Has there been a time when you were closer to the Lord than you are today? Has that been a reality in your life? When you were more about what we just got through going over, this list, was there a time when you were closer to the Lord than you are today? And if there was, pray for God to revive you, to give you a spirit and internally make an adjustment to you, and He can do it, so that you as a child of God are back to growing and back to being closer to the Lord every day. He wants us to be there no matter how old we are. He wants us to be there. May the Lord give us grace to do it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings today. Thank you for your many ways in which that you work in our lives. And we thank you for your word and how it testifies to us of our need. And we just pray that you might bless today, that your will would be done in each of our hearts, in each of our minds. Lord, that internally that we'd be closer to you, that internally that we would experience and that we would see what it is to be Christ-like, see what it is to have the difficulties that Christ experienced, and to, by your grace and by your mercy and through faith, be able to endure and be able to glorify you and be able to still have hope and peace and assurance and rejoicing in our hearts for what you've done for us. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Is it any kind of special day today? Any birthdays? No birthday. There was a birthday. One that passed away how many months ago? 7 months ago. Cindy, is that her name, Cindy? 7 months ago, but it would have been her birthday today. And our heart goes out to you folk as you remember her. And I had the opportunity to...